Welcome, welcome, welcome back to episode 39 of Positivity Spartans. How's everybody doing today? It's your boy Isaiah Hubbard back today with both my co-hosts, and I love to say that, Eric Lane and Marcellus James. And we're joined today by two special guests, Michelle and Britt. How's everybody doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it. Man, I want to kick off the podcast with this quote I read today. I actually read it 2 days ago, but I brought it up today and I had to read it again because I love it so much because it has to deal with abundance. Acknowledging the good that you already have in your life is the foundation for all abundance. And that's Eckhart Tolle. How y'all feel about that?
It's good stuff.
I like that, man. I like that. Because me, I'm one for abundance, man. I feel like we should all have everything and more that we deserve in our life. You feel me?
Yeah, I feel like that can be kind of applied to every little thing you do in life. Day-to-day tasks, big picture, right. Small picture, kind of comes into the fold.
Right, absolutely. I'm one of those people who, I don't care if the glass is half empty or half full, I'm just glad there's water in the glass, you know what I'm saying? And that's how you, that's how you stay appreciative in life. But, ladies and gentlemen, like I said today, we have two special guests, Britt and Michelle. Ladies, please go ahead and introduce yourselves to the listeners. Let us know what you guys do and where you come from. Just give a little background.
Michelle, you want to start?
I'll go ahead and get started. So what's up, guys? My name is Michelle Duke. I currently live in Alexandria, Virginia. I'm a full-time nursing student. I'll be graduating, fortunately, this May. I'm ready for it to be over with.
Nice. Congrats.
Congratulations.
Thank you. On the side of that, a small business owner. Me and my wife own a nutrition company. Coach CrossFit at an MMA gym. Just trying to kind of stay busy. Also, coming from a yoga background, I've been a yoga instructor and CrossFit coach for probably the past 5.5-6 years now.
Nice. Congratulations on all that. Yeah, love to hear it.
And then also part-time Army, so Army Reservist as well. Sometimes I forget about that.
Okay, cool. I see you, cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Retired vet, you know what I'm saying? You already know how we do on the show. We love them.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so Michelle, how about you introduce yourself a little bit first?
So that was Michelle. I'm Britt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
my apologies. My apologies.
It's all good. But my name is Brittany Harris, affectionately known as Britt. I am a licensed social worker in the state of Maryland, and I'm practicing in the capacity as a therapist, a mental health therapist.
Let's go.
I just submitted my, I just got approved to sit for my independent license in Washington, D.C., as well as in Maryland. So I'm really excited about that. So keep all the, high vibes and good prayers for your girl to pass that clinical exam.
For sure. We sending you all the positive energy over that way.
Thank you. So I do that. I'm owner. I own a virtual yoga studio. It's called Vibes Yoga. And I've been instructing yoga for the past 5 years. And I own some other small businesses too, but just for the sake of what we're talking about today and relevance, we'll stick to that. So that's a little bit about me, I guess, unless you want to know something else.
Nah, dope. I love it. You know what I'm saying? You covered all the basics and y'all both covered the topic we'll be talking about today, which is yoga. So Britt, let me ask you, what actually got you inspired to want to practice yoga?
My own mental health, and my own mental health journey. So I've been practicing yoga since high school. So for a very long time.
Nice.
But it was off and on. I didn't really get serious about my yoga practice. Until about 5 years ago. And that was, I was at a point in time where I was in my master's program. So I was, going through my master's program. I was also a new parent and also a single parent as well at the time. And I was experiencing a lot of postpartum depression. And so,
which is very real.
Very real.
Very real.
Yeah. So that was really a tough time for me personally and with my own mental health. And as I was, you know, I'm in school to become a social worker and I'm studying clinically because I knew that when I graduated, I wanted to practice in the capacity of being a mental health therapist. And I'm like, yeah, but I feel like I'm drowning with my own mental health and I don't know what to do, you know. And I had my own therapist at the time. Well, I was actually seeking a therapist because that process is, you know, can be difficult at times too, because it's like a relationship, right? So right. It's not always a good match the first time. So I was like seeking therapy at that time, but I also needed something in addition to that, that would help me get through what I was feeling. And yoga, I always tell people that yoga saved my life, literally.
Oh, nice.
It saved my life. Nice. So, yeah, at that point in time, that was when I really started getting serious, you know, more serious about my yoga practice and practicing daily, you know, more consistently.
Nice. That's really inspiring, to say the least. I mean, because me personally, you know, I mean, I've always wondered about yoga, but I've never stepped into it personally. But I know the mental health benefits are amazing. So you would agree with that.
Oh, for sure. Most definitely. A part of Vibes Yoga and my own training as an instructor is the fact that I'm certified in trauma conscious yoga. And so I also incorporate yoga methods, because it's not just, and I'm sure Michelle can also speak to this, that yoga is not just the asanas, right, or the postures that you do on the mat. Yoga is a lifestyle, and it's definitely a practice that you can take with you off the mat. And so I try to also incorporate different aspects of yoga into my therapy sessions with my clients, because it definitely has great effects with regard to mental health.
That's dope.
So Michelle, how did you get into yoga?
So I got into yoga, I believe, probably around the same time as Britt when I was in high school. At the time, I was like a barista at Starbucks, so just slinging coffee drinks, trying to make ends meet, trying to figure out what my next step is after high school. And we had these clients that would be coming in all the time after this yoga class that they'd have, I think, after every Sunday morning, right across the street at this really cool hotel in Delray Beach, Florida. And finally, the owner's son comes in one day and he's like, you know, have you ever done yoga before? Just making small chat. It was Joe, because I've talked to Joe so many times. And he's like, hey, we'll take a couple of these cards, like, come in. And I was like, all right, like, I'll try it. So background beforehand. So I'm pretty much, I've been a Buddhist a majority of my life. And I've followed a lot of the Mahayana practice styles for Buddhism, which is pretty lax compared to like some of the different types. So kind of think of like your Catholic Christian denominations. You'd see like the Catholics can be a little bit more strict on their rules, and some of the Christians kind of apply more of the lifestyle practice. So it's the same concept with Buddhism, right? So I'd never practiced yoga at this point, obviously knowing it's important to try, maybe do a little bit of meditation. So I'm like, all right, I'll give it a chance. So first class, walking in, and I didn't realize that it was more of like an advanced practice class. So they're doing handstands, we're getting upside down, uh-oh, we're doing forearm bounding. I have no idea what's going on. I had like this like red solo cup on the side of my mat for water, trying to do like a forearm stand, and I flop over, sit right onto the cup, and just water goes everywhere. Just tried to laugh it off, right? But after that day, I just remember I was like, I don't want to do that again, but I want to feel that again. So I remember like everything I had felt from that practice was pretty much kind of like, I want to feel that every day for the rest of my life, as long as I can. Right. So, that
had to be a dope feeling.
Kind of got me in and kind of transcended, a lot. So I didn't even think about going into a teacher training until, after I finished basic training in AIT, when I had joined in the Florida National Guard. We were getting actually ready for a deployment, which is where I met Marcellus in Africa. And they had told me, hey, we'll give you a scholarship and we'll will waive your tuition if you promise that, like, you'll take everything that you've learned and every, like, every part of your being and put that into teaching yoga overseas to the people that, you know, could really benefit from it during that time. And I, as well as Britt, I also got certified through, I believe, Connected Warriors, and they have a trauma conscious yoga certification as well. So that benefited a lot of the vets coming back home. So I'm sure, as Britt knows, like, that was kind of an incredible learning process in itself, especially on the mental health side.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, that's real dope. I wasn't even aware that there was such a thing as mental health conscious yoga. Like, that's surprising. That's news to me. And so both of you are certified in that practice.
Correct.
Yeah, that's right.
What are the odds?
That's awesome.
How long did the certification process take?
So I don't know about Britt's course, but mine, I believe, was a 2-day course. We kind of went through the evidence-based practice and science behind it, and then we kind of went into the practice behind it. I want to say it was a 60-hour course in terms of what I got for my certificate, and then just kind of, working in. So for those that don't really know much about, like, the trauma-conscious side of yoga, so it's just more of and I wouldn't necessarily say an easier flow, but it's just more simplified movements that still allow people to have energy release. Just because, for example, we don't do any hip openers. So especially for veterans that have been Afghanistan, Iraq, or any of those locations where they've been in contact with, like, VBIDs, IEDs, and they've had, you know, contact with any sort of enemies, they will retain a lot of that emotional trauma within their hips and within a lot of those deep tissue muscles. So the idea is, when you activate and open those deep tissue muscles, you're releasing a lot of those trigger points. And that could be trigger points that turn, you know, like PTSD episodes, any sort of trauma that can just kind of harbor and basically take a couple of step backs from the progress that they're trying to make to heal, right? I don't know if Britt has anything to add on that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. That's an excellent explanation. My training was the similar length, and definitely same concepts, where we learned about the theories and then learned about practice in and of itself. One of the things that the reason why I really, really enjoyed the training, not just for the knowledge, but also because for me and my program that I went through, we basically were like the muse, right? So we were like we got to test the method on ourselves before we started doing it with other people. Mm-hmm. So we literally had the chance to kind of go through our own quote unquote stuff, right? And unpack our own stuff through this method before we actually started to use it in our own practices. But yeah, definitely. That's exactly what it is. She hit the nail on the head. For me, as a clinician, when I'm using the trauma conscious yoga method as a clinician, sometimes, depending on my client and, you know, what they're diagnosed with and what their history is, we will challenge in a way, right? So I will push the envelope in a way where we might do one or two hip openers to start to kind of release some of the things that have been previously experienced, so that we can continue to unpack those things, because it's, you know, not always necessarily the healthiest to just kind of hold on to it and let it kind of linger in the back, right? We have to address things in order to actually heal them. But as a yoga instructor in class with my students in my yoga practice, then just like what was previously said, we may not do those things because we don't want someone to have a trigger or have an episode in the middle of a yoga class, but we want them to still be able to experience all the benefits of yoga.
Right, for sure.
And it's awesome that you get to experience that in the clinical setting too. I actually, last semester of fall, I was able to do my psych rotations, and we were in, like, an acute care psychiatric unit. And I was actually able to teach a class of yoga on the last day as our, like, main project that we were working towards.
Yeah.
And being able to kind of see, like, the applicability and how, like, detrimental some sort of routine is for a lot of patients, right? And that routine mm-hmm. being yoga or just trying to even get a patient like, hey, do this in your room. Like you don't really need anything that you think you might, like you don't really need a yoga mat. You don't really need a mindset. You don't need to know even really what you're doing. Just kind of like move around and see what feels good. And that's so special that you get to do that one-on-one with patients as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the other interesting part, I'm sorry, I don't mean to go too far left. But keep going. The other interesting part about trauma conscious yoga and being certified in that is that you learn that there are so many different little things that we don't even that we may not necessarily think about, you know, that could be trigger points for someone, like even just breath. Where breath is a large part of the yoga practice. You know, you always hear inhale, arms up, exhale, down, you know, so, but breath can, breathing and breath can also be a trigger for some folks. And so it's definitely interesting to be able to take it into, as a clinician, be able to take it into practice in that way. I'm grateful for the app, for that experience. It's definitely interesting. It brings up.
Man, I can't even tell you how many times I've cried in my own yoga practice.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, sometimes you just hit that breath and all of a sudden this random release comes in. I've done it in the middle of class. I'll put a sweater over my face and I'm like low-key just bawling my eyes out. And it's like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, for sure.
That's deep. That's real deep.
So you guys hit a lot on the mental aspects. What are some of the beneficial physical aspects from you guys personally?
Great question.
Yeah. Britt, you want to touch on that first?
Oh, go ahead. No, you're good.
So in terms of the physical benefits, so I think the first thing, the main target for it is increased like calisthenic strength, endurance, like muscular endurance and flexibility. Depending on the styles of yoga, there's a little bit more of like a mobility aspect and incorporated into it. So I'd say like vinyasa is going to make you more strong and flexible, and then yin yoga is going to make you more mobile. So it really kind of depends. There's so many different flows to it, but overall I'd say the benefits would be like body weight calisthenics, muscular endurance, flexibility, and mobility are kind of the big targets.
Yeah.
Could you give an example of vinyasa and yin? Because I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think vinyasa is pretty much going to be like your entry level cookie cutter yoga program where you get a mat in and they're kind of like, hey, inhale, arms reach up, like exhale, arms come to shoulder center. And then you do things like coming down. It's kind of like your typical yoga that you see where you're flowing through, you're doing lunges. You're maybe doing a wheel pose. Mm-hmm. You've got your legs stretched out, and it's typically anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that would be in a traditional room, so non-heated. But there is vinyasa heated as well.
And heated just is increased temperature, so I mean, gets you sweating. Gets
nice
you going.
Warm room.
Oof.
Bro, so have y'all tried yoga before?
Yep. The first time I started attempting yoga was when Michelle was teaching classes when we were deployed at the butt crack.
How'd you like
that? 6 a.m. class was rough.
I liked it. It's just my sleeping schedule was so terrible when I was deployed. Like, I only went a couple of times, but I really did enjoy it. And like, when I did go consistently for a little bit, I noticed a difference in like how I play basketball. Like, I can move faster because my range of motion was a lot bigger because I had strengthened and stretched those muscles.
That's dope.
I've never practiced. Like, I've always been interested and I've always read about it, but I've never practiced. So it's like, it's something that I definitely want to get into. And after hearing like all these benefits, especially like the mental health benefits that I didn't know about, it's something I'm definitely going to look into. Yeah, you guys are definitely piquing my interest into yoga, so I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, I mean, the hardest part is you're showing up, you know? Yeah. You show up, and once you're there, you're there. You're in it. You're committed 100%.
Oh, for sure.
And if you're not, you just walk out, you know? It's never permanent.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. See, me, I'm not a very flexible person, so I'm trying to, like Marcella said, increase my range of motion.
Bro.
So, yeah, I'm trying to step into yoga. I'm only getting older, you know what I'm saying?
You never notice how unflexible you are until you step into a yoga class.
Like, that depends on exactly. the day, too, because I've had some classes where I'll be, like, hitting certain poses, and then the next week I show up, and there's no way I can even hold it. I'm like, whoa, what yeah. is going on?
Same. Or the side of body that you're stretching. Like, some, there are, like, my right side, I can do different things that I can do on my left. Like, I might be able to do a split on my right, but not on yes. my left. Like, you right. know, so it also, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, sure. definitely, can definitely relate to that. Similar in the gym.
Yeah, you know absolutely. What I'm like, training yeah, doing dumbbells, better your left than arm.
Right.
I will say yeah. that was probably the. Yeah. more comical side of when I was deployed teaching yoga is we'd have some of these big yoked soldiers coming in. They're like, yeah. all right, like today's my rest day and I'm trying to get some yoga, and they show up. We're trying to do some of these like twists and turns, and they're rolling into the next person on the side of their mat. They're making these weird noises. They're like trying to like give me the eye, like, hey, come over here and help.
That's funny you mentioned that. When I was deployed, I did Britt's virtual yoga mm-hmm. session about twice. Bro.
Yeah.
I never felt that much pain in my yeah. life.
I've heard yoga leaves you pretty sore.
Bro, I was literally in pain for like a good 3 or 4 days afterwards. It felt like I had did legs. It felt like I had to squat at like 315, probably that's maybe like eight stretch, times. Yeah. Like
there's
eight,
like
eight
a whole new level of soreness too. Man. I've been so sore from yoga where I've had muscles and I'm like, man, bro. I didn't even know that was a thing. I'll be like walking up the stairs. Right. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, but
where's the what's the origin of yoga? Like, where does that where does yoga essentially come
I
from?
I would say it's Asian. Somewhere in Asia. But I do yeah, not know.
Beats me.
Yeah, well, it's definitely Buddhist and Hindu based. So, you know, so it has its Asian backgrounds. But there's also yoga that dates back to Kemetic times, and which is ancient Egypt and Africa. So, you know. There's that part too.
I don't have
a definite answer to say, oh, it originates from, you know, this yeah. or that, right? But it dates pretty far back to and definitely back to Kemetic ancient Egypt times. So
yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint it. There's actually a lot of literature that says they're really not even able to kind of figure out the beginning of yoga.
Right,
mm-hmm. right, because there's just so many different cultures that have used it in their own ways. But I think right. the more common side that people are kind of attuned to is like Sarasvati civilization that was in northern India, mm-hmm. and I think like okay. the Vedas, which were pretty much like these super old like biblical texts. That were used by like the Vedic priests, and those were some of the like OG findings of yoga, right? But that's yeah, pretty much all I've ever really known about it.
It's kind of one of those things that's been around forever, so you can't really
yeah, absolutely. From it, you know? And that's a really cool yeah. concept behind it too, is that there's not a whole lot on it,
right? Essentially, you could continuously learn about yoga. It's like a vast knowledge base because there's so many different cultures you could study.
Absolutely. Oh,
for sure.
See, that's dope.
And then even to be able to put your own spin on it and kind of make it your own, make it what you need it to be for you, you know? So,
right.
for example, at Vibes, we have different types of classes, you know, for yoga. Mm. And some of it is definitely for you to be like tailored specifically for that relaxation piece. Right. But then other classes are geared toward other things. And so we may have different music right. Playing, you know, during class. We may, you know, so we may have a class that has like upbeat, trap, rap, hip hop, you know, kind of music right. to cater to our audience, to cater to our class, you know. So
yeah.
You know, it's also one of those, it's a practice that literally you can make into your own to fit, to let it, allow it to fit what you need for it, you know, what you need it to be for you. There are some days where when I'm practicing, I'm sitting on my mat to practice and I might only be doing meditation, which is a form of yoga. You know, there are some days where I'm practicing with postures. There are some days where I'm practicing and I'm listening to maybe, you know, the singing bowls or something like that. And then there are other days where I'm practicing and I'm listening to R&B. You know, it's just, you can kind of, you can tailor it to whatever you need it to be for you, which is one of the things that I really appreciate about the practice.
Yeah, one of the really cool things when I was going through my teacher training, actually, are so formerly Yoga Fox, but now Bija Yoga Studios. My instructor, Kelly Brookbank, used to jam Metallica during some of our morning flows. So, yeah, the music can be anything, right? I mean, traditional yoga, like strict practice that's done in India is done like you practice 3 or 4 times a day. You don't eat before you practice. You have to have like a specific timing window. It's typically done either outside or inside with one mat, and then you have no music, right? So it's just silence for 90 minutes or the 60-minute duration, depending on the practice.
Yeah. So you see, it varies. It can be whatever you need for it to be, or however you like, you know, to practice, for sure.
Yeah, it truly is a lifestyle, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Like y'all said. I'm starting to see that now because, I mean, it's definitely something I'm going to have to look into for sure. Question now, what are some of the common misconceptions that people have about yoga?
That it's religious.
See, you know what? I wasn't going to bring that up. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, that's a conversation. Yeah, I had a conversation with a few people about that, and you know what I mean? I just didn't understand
that. A weird one I've gotten is like, yoga will make me small. I guess like dudes are just trying to get big, like ladies and dudes are just trying to get big, and then it's just like, I'm not trying to lose my gains.
Yeah,
that's one weird one.
Wow. See, I think it had the opposite effect because now you're stretching your muscles out more and they're able to grow more.
Just keep it immobile enough for the next training session.
Yeah.
And that's also like a training session in itself, too. I mean, you can hold those positions for as long as you want.
Yeah, I don't know how long I'd last. What are some good beginner poses that, like, people could start doing at home if they want? Honestly, for me, what are some beginner poses I could do?
I would say the most important fundamental yoga movement that you can get really good at that'll make your life a whole lot easier is probably down dog. Yeah.
Down dog, okay.
Just learning to breathe through that pose and breathe in like a point of tension, I think it's a great foundation for a lot of people in yoga because I personally think that a lot of people struggle with the breathing aspect because you're moving, you're holding positions. It's like static and sometimes it's dynamic, but overall it's like essentially muscular. It's cardio, right? So being able to learn how to relax in positions where you are very uncomfortable, I think it's a really big component.
Would you agree with that, Britt?
I would definitely agree. Yeah. That's a great a great one to start.
So we hit on the physical, the mental. Is there like a nutritional aspect to yoga?
Is that a nutritional aspect?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have anything, Britt?
I would not say that there's necessarily a nutritional aspect to yoga. I think that yoga is one of those things that it's placed in the category of health and wellness, right? And nutrition is another thing that's placed in that same category. So, I mean, I think it kind of goes along with, you know, whatever your nutritional goal is, right? So like when you're going to the gym, and I'm not a big gym rat, or you know, I'm not very well versed on working out in the gym, so please never mind my ignorance and please jump in where you see fit. But if you're going to the gym, right, and your goal is to gain muscle, then you may have more protein in your nutritional diet, right? And so with yoga, it's really I really don't see that there is a nutritional pairing with it. I'm a yoga teacher and I eat a lot of junk and pizza and it's not good, but that's what I do. You know, it doesn't affect my practice. But I'm sure that if I did eat better, then you know, overall my wellness and my health would be better and that would affect my practice, you know, in a positive way. But the way that I eat now doesn't negatively affect my practice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, nutritionally speaking, I think the only thing I can really think of is if you have maybe digestive issues, there might be, it's kind of like chiropractic care, acupuncture, and all those things. It fits in the category of you can manipulate certain positions that may kind of free up some of that that tension that you have or inability, indigestion, or maybe ramping up or like a stale metabolism, right? But again, I wouldn't say that there's a whole lot of evidence-based science behind that. But I would say that one thing that does fall within the similar category is the kind of perception of nutrition and health and wellness within the yoga community. So I know there's a lot of people in the yoga community that are traditionally like smaller, more lean, petite, like yogis, both men and women. And there's kind of this whole concept behind what yogis should be eating. And you'll see a lot of people drinking like the teas and the juice cleanses. And it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of nutritionally sound influences in that kind of community. So that's one thing that I've noticed within the past couple of years is this whole concept of to do yoga, you have to fast before you practice and you can't eat these certain things and you have to drink the juice and you live the style and you have these smoothies. And it's kind of negatively impacting that community because everybody wants to be small. Everybody wants to look like this petite yoga instructor or this petite yogi because it makes them more bendy, right? And they're kind of losing sight and kind of getting drilled into those negative eating habits. And that's one thing that I feel like we see in a lot of the fitness communities is that relationship with food that people just don't have. And it kind of turns into that disordered eating and things like that can obviously come back to the mental health circle, right? Kind of all this stuff goes full circle in a lot of those aspects.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. And then it's that added pressure, right, on folks too, because I have to look like this and I have to not eat this, you know, and it's really, in essence, you know, yoga, it's not about that, you know.
People kind of lose sight, absolutely.
Yeah, they lose sight of what it's really about. And so when you're pressuring yourself to, oh, I can't have pizza because I'm a yoga instructor, then, you know, well, now I'm depriving myself of something that is going to satisfy me. Now, everything in moderation, right? I shouldn't probably be eating a whole pizza every day, but, you know, but still now I'm depriving myself of something that might satisfy me, and which is, again, you know, is going to lead to those negative mental and emotional effects. And now I'm not even enjoying my practice because I'm too busy. I'm focused on something that really, in essence, has no real merit or value.
Absolutely. So, I think that like restriction, that can be applied to both eating and mental health. Any sort of like restrictive dieting or restrictive training or platform is guaranteed like burnout and guaranteed mental health repercussion right off the bat.
So eat healthy, but eat what you want to eat, you know.
Right, moderation is key. Yeah. I dig that. There's nobody wants to do something that's going to deprive them of their happiness.
Yeah, like it's not worth it either. I mean, you got one life, you know. Stuff ain't worth
exactly.
It.
Right.
Take that.
Right, because I sure do love me some Mod's pizza.
Get it. Have three scoops instead of two.
Oh man,
I do have pizza waiting for me tonight.
Bro, so I love Mod's pizza.
look.
So Michelle, this question is specifically for you because you do both yoga and CrossFit, and that's not very common, is it?
Not as much. It's usually like CrossFit paired with yoga. I mean, it's definitely getting bigger. There's a lot of different like CrossFit platforms that are doing like yoga moves, or like it's called things like ROMWOD or GoWOD, and these mobility apps and platforms, like companies trying to really bring in all the things that yoga offer to these athletes, because it really is a crucial part of their training as a form of recovery, as a form of training, right? So I'd say that it's definitely gotten a lot more open and accepting, and people are kind of catching on now, but kind of back in the day, OG CrossFitting, I think it was kind of like, no, 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 I do CrossFit and I drink the Kool-Aid and that's it.
it was like a cult in the beginning. Cold.
How do you balance this?
So most of my practice, I have not, sometimes I'll teach yoga as like a warm-up for the class, depending on what we're doing that day. I don't remember, I think the last time I taught like a formal yoga class was probably a couple months ago. It's definitely not as much nowadays, just because I'm trying to balance the school work life. So I kind of picked CrossFit as the one thing where I'm going to dedicate most of my time to this year and last year. So it's kind of taken the spearhead aspect of it. But I really think that a lot of our athletes that do both will incorporate into their training at least 1 to 2 times a week. Like I know my wife, the way that she trains, she does Ramwad, I think every day, which is pretty much like yin yoga. It's a lot of static holds for a long period of time. So you're holding these positions for at least 2 to 3.5 minutes at a time. So it gets pretty heavy. But you can do it. I mean, they have 15-minute courses. They have hour-long classes that you can take. So it kind of really just depends on how you're feeling. And they're also targeted differently as well. So some people will do shoulders, or you can do like backs and buys, or you can do like lower legs, hip openers. So I think that's a really cool training key that helps people that are especially like time management oriented, right? So I've only got, let's say, an hour and a half of my time to train, but I still want to get that recovery piece in. Well, I can squeeze in 15 minutes, right, to do some yoga or to look this YouTube video up and see if I can get some stretches in. So I think it's definitely gotten a lot more heightened within the last couple of years.
It's very dope.
It's pretty dope.
I
can't imagine how your body feels. Like, just overall, your recovery process, your rest and training periods, like, that sounds like a lot of
your body. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really just where that, like,
and CrossFit.
The lifestyle aspect of what you're doing when you're training, the sleep, the nutrition, the mental well-being, the, you know, what do you do for work and how does that pair, or like how do you balance that with what you're doing if you're training? And then you've got like people that are really just there for the hour-long class. You know, you've got people that just want to come in, get a good workout in. They're probably not going to do very much stretching or outside of that class. So another big component is, especially for coaches, is how are you warming up and how are you cooling down your athletes within that hour-long period that you have that's going to benefit them? Maybe if they're someone that works that 9-to-5 and they have 3 kids. So do you really think that they're going to make the time after they come into this hour-long class when they have to cook dinner and then get everything ready for bed, you know, trying to squeeze in that time and then just trying to better time manage your own class, right? And see like how we can get this like 10-minute cool down or this 8-minute cool down. It, you know, might benefit everybody just a little bit differently.
And then for Britt, you said you kind of include it in your learning what you're working with your clinical, but do you like wind up doing it, hey, we're going to do a yoga pose real quick, or you just like suggest the class and you guys like transition into later?
Yeah, no. So in session, when I am in the intake process with new clients, then we talk about movement. We talk about different forms or different methods that we'll use throughout therapy. And so, you know, I have a very open and honest conversation, a very candid conversation about movement and about the benefits of movement within mental health and within therapy. And I ask my clients, you know, is this something that you're open to? And if they say yes, then great. We continue on. Not every client is open to it at first. And that's okay. You know, and then some clients, we don't use movement. We only use breath. And then there are other clients where it just takes them a moment to kind of warm up to the thought of it, because they think in their mind, they're thinking that we're going to get on the mat and do a full yoga session. And it's not like that. It's literally specific movements that we may do, or that I may guide them through, specific meditations that I might guide them through, to be able to allow them to connect with whatever the emotion is or whatever the past experience might be, so that we can unpack it and process through it. So I hope I answered your question. Okay, because I felt like I kind of went all, like, around. And then I thought about it, like, wait, I answered the question?
No, this has definitely been very, very informative. Very informative. What I appreciate most about both of y'all is you're just showing that yoga, no matter what your lifestyle is, or no matter where you are at your point in life, like, you can start yoga if you want to. You can be successful at yoga if you want to, and it can definitely help you in a better mental and physical aspect, which is really dope. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you got two sides of the spectrum. You know, you got, like Ben says, you're a single mother, and then you got Michelle, who's a part-time soldier who does the CrossFit, which is a lot of strain on the bodies. To be able to manage all that and have yoga like balance that is definitely incredible, and it definitely piqued my interest. Where can I learn more from like you all? Like, where can the people find you guys?
So, go ahead, Britt.
Nope, you're good. You got it.
So for me, you guys can most easily find me on Instagram. So for any nutrition programming, nutrition inquiries, or even yoga inquiries, if you go to thealignfx.com, that's going to be our website for a nutrition company. And then if you're looking at anything on Instagram, we're also on Instagram as well. It would just be like align_fx nutrition, blue little icon, pretty quick to find us. And then you can add me on Instagram. I try to post mostly pictures of me either lifting or doing things outside, just trying to stay busy. But that's going to be Michelle Bombshell. So at, and then M-E-E-S-H-E-L-L, and then Bombshell, B-O-M-B-S-H-E-L-L as well.
For sure, for sure. And Britt, where can we find you at?
Yep. So I'm also on Instagram. Vibes Yoga is on Instagram. That's at vibes, V-I-B-E-Z dot yoga dot sessions. And then I'm also on Instagram, my personal page, which I guess isn't so personal because it's public. is at bohemian.b. So that's bohemian.bee. And then for yoga sessions, we have a website. It's www.vibes.yoga.session. I'm sorry, www.vibesyoga.com. And yeah, for yoga classes, you can visit the website to sign up for yoga classes, or you can use the link on Instagram to sign up for yoga classes. For therapy inquiries, I accept those from Instagram as well, for those who are looking to for therapy. And I usually posting on my personal page, I post a lot of yoga poses, yoga pictures, and then I also post a lot of things about mental health. There'll be regular pictures because I'm a regular person. And yes. So, but yes.
the regular life,
you know, and I had somebody say, I'm sorry, this is kind of off a little bit, but I had somebody say, ask me like, you know, why would you can't post a picture with shorts on because you're a therapist. And I'm like, well, what are they going to say? I'm a therapist what? That wears shorts. I mean, like, I'm not supposed to wear shorts when I'm a therapist. Like, what? So, you know, it'll be pictures of like me, my son, but the captions are always about mental health or encouragement or, you know, things like that. And so I take those inquiries via Instagram as well.
Yeah, I'd say, for sure. I mean, the mental health aspect, Britt, I'm sure you've seen that, especially with this whole COVID mess right now. It's nothing but a big spike in mental health. It's been kind of huge this year.
Oh, my goodness. It's been crazy. 2020 was crazy. When I say, like, yeah. Man.
Yeah, we can't stress that enough.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like it's an understatement to say 2020 was crazy.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, super lit.
For sure. The spike in depression and anxiety disorders was like bananas. And then, you know, a special shout out to all of the clinicians out there, because it's hard enough, you know, trying to help other folks on a regular year, which 2020 was not a regular year, but trying to help other folks through a pandemic and you're also experiencing a pandemic, you know, it was just, Absolutely. It was a lot. It was really a lot, but you know, we all made it through. So I'm glad that you all are here in 2021.
Well, for sure. Same. And we appreciate y'all for what y'all do. And you know what I mean? Cause I mean, I go to therapy personally. Without my therapist, you know, life would be hectic with 2020. So we definitely appreciate y'all for that.
Yes, thank you, Brett.
Right. <Whoop, whoop. laughs> And thank y'all again for coming on the show, man. Is anybody else y'all want to shout out? Michelle, anybody you want to shout out?
Big shout out to Align FX Nutrition, just the company that we own, my wife and I own, and. Yeah, that's pretty much it. My teacher training, if anyone's interested in doing any sort of teacher training, Bija Studios, BIJA, they do online training sessions. A lot of their teacher trainings can be done through Zoom and people can get certified. So don't feel like you're limited because you're not, you know, in there in person or you can't find a studio that you're quite comfortable with.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I want to say I appreciate y'all again for coming on the show. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen. Positivity, prosperity, peace.